Welcome back to another episode of the Playbook Podcast with your host, Kyle Stout, another host,
Garrett Burkle.
So, Garrett, we had a very interesting weekend of college basketball, a lot of big upsets. It was pretty fun to watch, especially for my team, the Kentucky Wildcats. So, off with that game. Kentucky, I'm coming into this game 10-6, coming off probably one of the worst losses in college basketball to South Carolina.
Yeah, program
history. One of
the last
teams in I'd put that up there with the Evansville loss, if I'm being honest.
Yeah,
maybe not because it's conference play, but you know, still.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think 10-6.
I think after that game, they were ranked 63rd in net, which would come in as the second to last team in the tournament. I don't know how they still were that high, but you know, this was a game you needed to come in and win, have a statement win, and they did just that. They went into Tennessee and beat Tennessee, a top five ranked team at the time, 63-56, and they just looked very good without starting point guard Sevier Wheeler, without backup center Damian Collins. So I think the lineup that they played is the reason they won. They started the game with Jacob Toppin, Chris Livingston, Oscar Tshiebwe, Cason Wallace, and CJ Frederick. That's a pretty good starting five, but the game ended. Instead of Chris Livingston out there, they put in Antonio Reeves, who ended the game with 18 points, most of that coming in the second half. Had some very clutch shots to pull through there for Kentucky. So I think this team, I think they need to stick to that starting five. Bring Sevier Wheeler off the bench. I think he brings a lot to the team speed-wise, but I think that he's not a starting guard, a starting point guard on a championship team. If you want to get
there. Yeah, I agree with that.
I think him off the bench would be great, and I think he still, like I said, brings a lot to the team, but Cason Wallace should always have the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
I mean, Cal has been successful.
From what I saw, at least. You know.
I mean, Cal has been successful in the past with the NBA-level talent guard, and that's what Cason Wallace is. And maybe not compared to others, but he's still an NBA level talent.
That's true.
So Kentucky is now 11-6. They're not ranked yet. I don't expect them to be, but that win completely turns around the season. I think the fan base on your side. The players said after the South Carolina game they had a couple good practices, they had a very honest meeting with each other, talked about the struggles, what they need to do. They came out and won. I mean, they're a very talented group on paper. I think everybody was just kind of waiting on them to actually get it together. And
that's true.
And so they have some games up ahead. They host Georgia tonight at 9 o'clock. That would be a tough one. Usually Georgia's not a good quality team.
Well, since Tom Crean's been there, at least.
Yeah, since Tom Crean's been there.
He was really bad there.
But now Georgia's coming into this game at 13-4. They have a win over Auburn this season already, so it's going to be a tough game. I think it's still a game you should win by 15 points if you're Kentucky, but yeah, it's going to be tough. I think they need a statement win like this where they can beat a quality team but beat them handedly.
Yeah.
Then they host Texas A&M the game after that. Then they go on the road at Vandy, a little three-game stretch there. I think that needs to be three wins. I think you have to take care of business the rest of the way because you're in a position where a couple bad losses could honestly jeopardize your tournament chances. So you win those three games, you're 14-6, then you host Kansas for the Big 12 SEC Challenge. That right there would be a statement win to prove whether or not you can be contenders this year.
Yeah,
so I think
I agree.
If they won that game, I'm full on board that, yeah, this team actually can win a natty. But we're still a long way from that. They only have one win.
Yeah, exactly.
So way long from that. But anyways, there's some other upsets on the day. NC State upset Miami in overtime. Indiana upset Wisconsin. I'm kind of an upset, but not really. TCU beat Kansas State. Everybody was kind of big on Kansas State until that game.
I was never really high on them. So
I was pretty high on them. But, TCU's a quality team. They just have had some really close, tough losses in a really tough Big 12. Vandy upset Arkansas. Creighton upset Providence. Florida upset Missouri, which I don't know if that's too much of an upset. I think Missouri just kind of got overrated in the rankings. I want to talk, this isn't an upset, but Kansas only beat Iowa State by 2 at home. Iowa State is a tough team, though, and Kansas is winning these close games at home in a very tough conference. Alabama killed LSU. I mean, 106-66. LSU's not great. They're decent, though. And, you know, Alabama just looks like a real contender. Clemson beat Duke at home, so that knocked Duke out of the rankings, moved Duke's record to 13-5.
That's too bad.
They're struggling.
Purdue's win against them.
Yeah, but Clemson is going
Clemson's undefeated. Clemson's ACC play.
Yeah, they're a very quality team, a little sleeper team there. Oregon beat Arizona at home, which is a big upset. New Mexico went on the road and beat San Diego State, and so that's for Saturday's games. And Sunday's games, St. John's upset UConn. I mean, UConn does not look very good.
UConn will be all right.
They're 15-4 now. They're going to be knocked out of the top 10 for sure. But yeah, I think they'll be all right. And then you can talk a little bit about the Purdue Boilermakers. They beat Michigan on the road.
A huge road win at East Lansing in the Breslin Center. Even though Michigan State wasn't top 25, they're a top 25 potential team.
They're healthy for sure.
And to get a road win against a team as good as Michigan State is always a plus. So, I mean, some of the leading scorers for Purdue, Zach Edey had 32 points and 17 rebounds. I mean, I'd go ahead and give him National Player of the Year right now. I mean, he's just so dominant, most dominant player I've ever seen at Purdue.
Do you think it's even a contest between him and Brandon Miller?
Right now, no. I don't see how it is.
I think it can be by the end of the year.
It can
especially
be.
Especially with the way Alabama's playing.
It can be, but if Edey keeps having games like this, I think there's no competition. As of right now, I don't think there's a competition. Can there be? Absolutely. But as of right now, I don't think so. And then freshman who absolutely went off when he heard the Foster's better chance. His brother was better than him. Fletcher Lawyer had a game. 17 points, 4 assists, and 2 rebounds.
Where does Foster play? Who are you talking about?
Davidson. He's at Davidson.
Okay, so it's just like a random chance.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Foster played at Michigan State and left Michigan State to go for other opportunities at Davidson. So, you know, all that. But, Fletcher Lawyer had 17 points and a game he just pretty much took over down the stretch, which is really good for them. And then Tyson Walker had a career day. He was 12 of 23 shooting, 4 of 8 from the three-point line, 3 rebounds, and 30 points, which, he was unstoppable towards the end of the game. But he had a good look on the last shot, and it did not go in, and Purdue prevailed and had a really nice road win at Michigan State. And I think Purdue is now, they're in outright first place in the Big Ten. I believe they're a game up on everyone. They're a game up on Rutgers right now. So, again, you keep winning.
They'll pull away from Rutgers.
I hope so.
Rutgers isn't a team that's going to win the Big Ten.
Rutgers is pretty good, though.
They're pretty good, and they're going to be a tournament team, but they're not going to win the Big Ten, especially over a team like Purdue.
I hope so.
So, yeah, but previewing some of the games today, we have Houston-Tulane. That should be, I think this will be actually a decent test for Houston. Tulane's always tough and going on the road. But Houston, I think they'll stay at number one for the rest of the year, unfortunately, even though I do think that Purdue's a better team. Kansas goes on the road to Kansas State. That's going to be a big, big test for Kansas to see if they're legit or not. That'll be a road game at number 13. Tennessee goes on the road to Mississippi State. That'll also be a tough one. We'll see how Tennessee rebounds after the home loss to Kentucky. Texas goes on the road to Iowa State. Alabama goes on the road to Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt just upset Arkansas, so you never know. Clemson goes on the road to Wake Forest. Wake Forest is favored in this game by 2.
Really?
I feel like that's a little disrespectful to Clemson, how good they've been playing. And then Baylor goes on the road to Texas Tech. I want to shout out Butler Creighton tonight. We're going to be there.
We will be there, yeah.
Excited to see Butler play. They're an exciting team.
I'm excited to see Eric Hunter Jr. play, former Purdue transfer. Again, he wasn't awesome at Purdue, but he did put in 4 solid years there, so really excited to see him play tonight.
Yeah, and then Kentucky hosts Georgia. That just needs to be a win. We'll see how they do coming off a big win, see if they look good and see if they look legit. Now let's talk a little bit about the NFL games that went on this weekend in the playoffs. On Saturday, you had 49ers Seahawks, which actually looked to be a close game for a while until the Seahawks fumble, which is just unfortunate there.
Yeah.
But the Niners won 41-23. Brock Purdy looked great, and he started off a little shaky, but you know you'd expect that out of a rookie in his first playoff game. But I want to kind of pose the question of, Do you think Brock Purdy can be the 49ers guy? Are you sold that can be their quarterback one
no,
for the future?
No, but everyone else is.
I think I am. And I don't think there's any reason why you shouldn't be.
Because he's, I mean, again, I get it's that, a small I get, sample size.
I get that
know?
He's not he's not like making Patrick Mahomes throws. He's not doing all that. But he is playing at a very high level, very
and
solid.
You bring up a good point, regardless about how the 49ers don't need an all-pro quarterback to lead them, you know, to the Super Bowl or what. Or
exactly.
Whatnot,
and it's
which
like,
I agree with there.
And Brock Purdy, I mean, he leads the league, and since he's came in, he's led the league in this short sample size in touchdown passes, mm-hmm. and I believe QBR.
Yeah, I mean,
In this playoff game, he went 18 for 33, 32 yards and 3 touchdowns.
What was the QBR that Keenan told us?
The QBR was 89.5, but his quarterback rating was 131.5.
That's just crazy to me, you know?
And it's like, I think, like, when you have an offense of Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, and that O-line, I think any quarterback can be successful.
Yeah.
And I think Brock Purdy's not a guy that you're going to have to give these massive contracts.
That's true.
I think you can get a lot of value from Trey Lance.
So do you let Jimmy G walk? Because I think if Garoppolo was still the starter, I think without a doubt 49ers would be my Super Bowl pick. But I'm still not sold on Purdy.
I think if he even makes the Super Bowl, I'm sold. And if he wins, 100%. If he wins the Super Bowl, there's no way that you can replace him. I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Eagles replaced Nick Foles after he won the Super Bowl.
I feel like that's a different situation. Nick Foles is older. I think Brock Purdy's a rookie,
that's true.
He's been playing very well. And I think he'll continue to prove in that system. But also,
if he walks in free agency, it won't be the Brock Purdy of the 49ers. He'll be, a lower tier quarterback in the NFL.
We'll have to see, but also, I mean, remember back when Tom Brady started, everybody said he was a system quarterback.
That's true.
I think Tom Brady is a system quarterback. I'm not taking
Brady,
away anything
from
him.
But he's also the greatest quarterback of all
time.
Yeah,
100%, but he's also a system quarterback. Like, he benefited from that system extremely well. So, yeah, I mean, I think Purdy can be the guy. He does the right thing. He doesn't throw stupid passes. He sits in the pocket, and he just lets the game come
That's
to
true.
Him, which is what you need. So, yeah, I think he can be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see moving forward. But, yeah, the 49ers advanced to the second round. Then we had a thriller late night game on Saturday. Jacksonville hosted the Los Angeles Chargers.
I didn't watch the entire game. I actually, after
Chargers
I think,
were down 27, or
yeah.
Jags were down 27-0, 27-7 at half. Then they just completely exploded in the second half.
Yeah, I don't
and
understand
came back and
that.
Won.
I mean, I think the Chargers need to let go of their coach.
I think they 100% need to go let go of Brandon Staley. I mean, in the regular, go back to the regular season. He plays his players in meaningless minutes that caused them to get injured. They're without Mike Williams this game because Brandon Staley was playing Mike Williams in a meaningless time in a game.
Right.
Where there's no reason there should be any injuries there.
Right.
At all.
And I think Doug Peterson, in my opinion at least, I don't know if they've already given Coach of the Year awards away.
Doug Peterson really confuses me. He's a good coach, but he's just so risky sometimes.
He's like Frank Wright. He's a better Frank Wright.
He's a better Frank Wright. I do agree with that. I was just really confused. Now, it worked out and came down to the reason they won.
Why Philadelphia let him go? Oh.
No. When they were down 30-26, got that last touchdown that they had. I get it was from the one, but why risk it and go for two there? Am I the only one that questions that? I get it now because you have a big quarterback like Trevor Lawrence who can reach over. But even you saw in the Bengals-Ravens game Sunday night, I mean – Tyler Huntley tried that. It got
smacked
out.
Yeah, but they were also, I mean, they were also playing from behind, you know, which I also think had something to do with
it. But also, I feel like you can't.
I get what you're saying. Because
there's not that much time left in the game. You're down four. You just need the PAT to tie it. And I think they had momentum on their side to where if they went to overtime, they would have won anyways.
Yeah, I don't. It, you know, the NFL.
There's a lot of question marks.
See, I disagree with that because the NFL, only one thing matters in overtime. Who wins the freaking coin toss? So. I mean,
yeah, but the Jags' defense was completely.
That's
giving.
True.
And
they
with
were
Brandon Staley's
yeah.
play calling, I don't know, but yeah, that call, like when they first went out to go for two, I was saying how stupid it was. Even when they got it, I think it was dumb. it worked out. And maybe, I mean, Doug Peterson's a head coach, and I'm just a
Look,
fan.
Look, Peterson, in my opinion, is one of the NFL's best head coaches. Yeah, I think he should have never been fired from Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia saw how good Reich was doing at the time because I think they hired Sirianni in 2020.
But Sirianni was a very good hire.
It was, in
and
retrospect.
I think that's going to work out. I think it was the right time mutually for Peterson to go.
Because he wasn't there that long, because this is only his fifth season as an NFL head coach, which I was like, how do you fire a guy after, you know, winning the Super Bowl in one of his first years in Philadelphia?
They just have very high.
I don't get it, though. They surely shouldn't have that high of expectations, yeah, but is what it is. I think, I think Doug Peterson is one of the NFL's best, and I kind of wish the Colts had him. But again, that's like Frank Reich 2.0, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do think you said the Jags will be good for years to come, and I do agree with that.
I mean, 100%. Trevor Lawrence threw 4 picks in the first half, but second half he looked amazing.
He was good.
Like, a completely different player. 4 touchdowns in the second half, only missed a handful of throws. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me Trevor of Lawrence. It reminds me of the Andrew Luck comeback
against the Chiefs. Yeah.
Where the fans were booing him coming back on the field. He throws a pick, and then he turns it up after that.
So. It's like, yeah, this Jags team, I honestly think they can go into Kansas City and maybe not get a win, but I think they can keep it close. Them. And, you know, you never know. You saw the Bengals go in and get a win last year. So, But, yeah, I think the Chargers the Jags will run the AFC South for a while. They don't even have Calvin Ridley yet.
No.
And they're looking amazing already. It's like the Colts need to do something. I think the Colts need to just let go and rebuild after seeing this.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Jags, they have a great coach, they have a great quarterback, great running back, great young core, mm-hmm, all around the team.
And if the Jaguars off, I've seen he's gotten jobs around the league, you know, or interviews for jobs around the league. So if their offensive coordinator leaves, you know who they'll plug there, right? They'll plug Frank Reich in there, and then Frank Reich will come over to Jacksonville. And just kick
he's
our
a
butts
he's a good OC.
Oh, he is. Looking back at it, I don't think I should have hated. I mean, Reich was not good his last year in Indy, but I also, looking at the whole season overall, I think it was more of, I don't think it was his fault at all. I think it was Ballard's fault. I think Irsay was too forceful with it, and I don't know. I think we could.
This is a bad situation.
Yeah, I think we could have handled stuff a lot better.
If he had a quarterback, I think he would have been.
But I don't know where the Colts go, because I personally don't think Eric Bieniemy deserves a head. I think he deserves a head coaching job. But I also think, in the same aspect of that, is that he has such a bad track record.
He also hasn't called plays.
Yeah. So I think if you go Bieniemy, I think it's a very risky hire.
I'd really like to hire the 49ers defensive coordinator.
I'd like that.
Jim Harbaugh's off the board.
Yeah, Harbaugh. Then that's what I was going to talk about. Is it's just too bad that you couldn't go and get Harbaugh.
But
at least try to bring him in
for
an interview.
If you're going quarterback, which I think you should, and I think you will, I think you should bring in a very good offensive coordinator at the least, maybe an offensive-minded head coach. But I'd also be very happy with the offensive coordinator hire from the 49ers.
Bring back Jim Caldwell.
Jim, no.
Caldwell wasn't bad. He always had a bad rap.
I'd like Ben Johnson from the Lions offense coordinator.
I just don't want their defensive coordinator.
Yeah, not their defensive coordinator.
They were talks with him, and I was like, why?
Yeah.
He had one of the worst defenses in the league.
Yep.
But I don't know. I mean, Colts are definitely looking, because they've interviewed about just everyone they can. So I think that's interesting, and I like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know where you go.
Yeah. Yeah, moving on to the Sunday games, we have Bills-Dolphins. That was a very close game that it really shouldn't have been. The Bills won this game 34-31, but I think the Bills will be fine. The Giants beat the Vikings on the road 31-24. I think we both predicted that. The Giants are a very sleeper team that I think they could make a Super Bowl run.
Yeah,
I really do think that. The Bengals beat the Ravens at home 24-17. As much as I think the Bengals are a good team, I think they're going to lose next week to the Bills. That's
mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think the Bills are just – I don't know, because the Bengals, are always – I mean, the Bengals can definitely win. I believe the Bengals can win, but I don't know. I think the NFL overall, because I think there was a circumstance where if the Bengals beat the Bills in that game where DeMar Hamlin went down, I thought there was some way that the Bengals could have possibly got home field advantage from that. I don't know how all that would have worked out, but I do think that the NFL was wrong in letting and if that circumstance was going to happen where the Bengals won, they got the second seed. Again, not too sure if this is right, but if that was the whole thing, I think that that game should be played neutral site. But that's just me. I still do think the Bengals can go into Buffalo and get the W because, as we saw, both of those teams are definitely beatable. I especially think the Bills are, especially with the Dolphins, like fourth-string quarterback there. So, I don't know.
Third string, whatever. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then Monday, the Cowboys beat the Buccaneers 31-14. It's a blowout win. The Cowboys played very well, so, yeah. But I do want to talk about, before we get off the Colts situation in the draft, C.J. Stroud declared. I don't know why everybody's, all the Colts pages are posting about that, because I think C.J. Stroud's the least realistic that we get.
I don't understand how you say that.
Unless you want him at, okay, so look, if you trade up to get
C.J. Stroud, I will not be happy.
If you trade up to one, I think you got to go Bryce Young, right?
Correct.
I think Bryce Young's a better player than C.J. Stroud. If they draft C.J. Stroud, that's the only way you get C.J. Stroud, right? But, yeah, if you trade up to one, you're going Bryce Young. You're trading up probably a couple players, some first-round picks, you know, whatnot. If you don't want to trade up to number one, I think you wait at four and you get Will Levis. Number one's going to go Bryce Young, regardless who trades up. Number two's going to go to the Texans, going to go C.J. Stroud. Number four, let's say the Colts stay at number four. Those two are off the board. I think you have to go Levis.
Yeah.
Because I think, and I've been more convinced lately that Levis is going to be a good NFL quarterback, depending on the right situation. He has all the things that you need in a quarterback. I think he's just going to need time, kind of like Josh Allen needed time. I mean, Josh Allen needed a couple years, and everybody was calling him a bust. Now look at him now.
So, like, what if you trade up? Well, never mind.
I think if you trade up, you're going to have to give up, you know.
Give up Darius Leonard, Quentin Nelson.
What in the world, bro?
Just give him, no. I mean, first, give no. up Quentin Nelson.
Give up, this is what you would give up. Ryan Kelly.
Okay.
Fourth overall pick, next year's first.
And then I don't want to trade.
You're going to have to. If you're trading up, you're going to have to give next year's first.
I mean, if there's any
you
way...
You can't give up Quentin Nelson, any way especially if you're bringing in a quarterback. You need a decent O-line.
So, is there any way that... So, I'm just trying to think because who has the third pick again?
The Cardinals. They're not going quarterback. It won't
so,
matter.
Is there any way that the Bears stay at one and Cardinals stay at three and you're able to go... I don't know.
I think there is a chance.
If that happens, you don't trade at all.
And you take Stroud. Yeah. That's an option. You could get Stroud. Because
and then you know what I think you
the
do?
The Bears, if they did trade down to like six to the Panthers, they wouldn't be able to get anybody they wanted. If they trade to four to the Colts, they could still probably get almost everybody they'd want.
You know what I think you should do?
What?
I think you should this is hypothetical, but I think if you're able to draft Stroud, I think you trade next year's first round pick, and everyone call me crazy, whatnot, but I think you need a blockbuster head coach, so I think you trade that first round pick next year for Sean Payton and call it a day.
I wouldn't be mad about that.
I mean, again, it's a good draft pick for an NFL head coach, but again, if you have enough faith in Ballard and his drafting ability, I think that's somewhere where you can definitely go and explore that.
I do sort of agree with that. I think, it's if you don't trade up. And I just think the most realistic option as of right now is Will Levis to the Colts. I think I would like that because Will Levis, you saw in college at Kentucky, had a horrible O-line, and he took sacks, but he also he was able to escape the pocket a lot and also be able to shed sacks and stay in there, take hits. That's a big thing. He was able to take hits and stay in there.
He was, yeah.
And when you have a below-average O-line with the Colts, I think that's something you need, a quarterback you need. I know everybody's going to hate on the Colts if they draft Will, and I don't think that there should be hate there. And I think it's really weird hating on a guy that's never played yet.
Yeah, but fans are going to do it.
I know fans are going to do it, and I'm going to really be upset if, no matter who we draft, even if we were to mess up completely and go this offseason and get Derek Carr, I'm still going to support the guy. Like, I'm not going to ever hate a Colts player while they're on the team. And, like, it's just silly to me why fans would are saying, oh, don't go Will Levis. Like, I think any of those top three quarterbacks are going to do fine.
Yeah, I agree. Be good
NFL quarterbacks.
I don't know. I'm not too sold on any of them yet.
I'm not sold on any of them at all, but I also they all have their own unique potential that can be very good. I think Bryce Young can be sort of a Russell Wilson like quarterback. I think Stroud, I think Stroud's got the size. I don't know what Stroud can be yet, but he does have a very accurate arm, very strong arm. And then Levis shows signs exactly like Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting, this draft, very fun. But if I had to guess right now, I'd say Will Levis is an Indianapolis Colt.
Which I'm all right with, but I'd be fine. I don't know. I would like, you know, younger.
I would like more. Young more, obviously. But if it's going to take a massive haul to trade up, I don't even know. Like, I don't know if I don't even know if I'd want to give up, like, Pittman in a trade like that. Because I've seen that the Bears... I don't know.
I would.
If you give up Pittman...
I don't think there's a good player on that roster.
Colts?
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm not too sold on any of those boys.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people... Like, Colts fans will say, like, oh, we're a quarterback and an O-line away. Like, I don't think we are. Jonathan Taylor's good. I think Quentin Nelson's good. Shaq Leonard's good when he's healthy, but he's just never healthy.
I don't think he'll ever
the
be healthy.
The D-lineman's very good. The D-line is very good.
Yeah, D-line is good. That's true.
So I think you have – I think you need to kind of spend on the secondary or draft the secondary. But if you traded Pittman in a trade like that, I think you'd have to trade for DeAndre Hopkins or at least go out and get a good wide receiver one.
I don't see it. Even if Ballard's on the hot seat, I don't see it, man. I just don't.
That's the thing that I'm kind of worried about.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes.
It is what it is.
But anyways, that was a pretty good episode of the Playbook Podcast. You can catch us on Indy Shine 90.9 on Spotify. Listen to our radio show every Thursday from 9:15 to 10. Anyway, signing out from Ben Davis Studios.